Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Hello and welcome to We're Not Fucking Historians, so titled because we are not fucking historians. We're just two people who like the crack and have chosen history as a subject we're going to have the crack about.
We're not far off historians, but we're not. I mean, it's crazy, even the level of historian that we are, that even though we do a history-themed podcast, if you met us at a party or in a restaurant, we couldn't really hold a conversation about history, and that's crazy. That's
not
crazy.
Even on the chosen topic of
not
the week.
Even on some of the past episodes I've done. Sometimes I walk in here full to the brim of knowledge on a specific subject, but the second I fly home, as soon as the plane tires touch the runway, it's like, you know, the Men in Black thing where they erase your mind.
Gone.
I don't know anything.
Gone.
Yeah.
I'm Hazel Hayes.
I'm Shane Todd.
Shane.
Hazel.
I'm going to tell you some things today, and I'm actually quite excited.
Class, am I?
We're going to talk about Bram Stoker.
Don't know anything.
What? I really thought you were going to be like, oh, Bram.
Dracula.
My man. Yes, yes.
Right, that's about it.
He wrote Dracula.
See, I'm not really a books guy.
Okay.
More of a magazine man, if I'm honest. More of a pamphlet guy, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. More of a back of a cereal box kind of guy.
Yeah. I don't know a lot about Bram Stoker, but as always, my mind is open and my heart is full. I'm ready to learn.
I'm so glad. Okay, well, here we go. He was born in Dublin in 1847. Cast your mind back, if you will. What did Dublin look like in 1847?
Probably same it did now, but it was just black and white back then.
Funny. His name was Abraham after his father, so that's what they called him, Bram.
But he's trying to be cool.
He was trying to be cool at school.
Because can I just say, any Abrahams listening? Not cool name.
I'd like a full list of all the names we have slated on this podcast.
If I was called Abraham, I would definitely go to Abe quicker than I would go to Bram.
Interesting, isn't it? Bram.
Don't get me wrong, I don't hate it. I actually think it's kind of cool.
Yeah. His mother was Charlotte Blake, a woman's rights activist from County Sligo who had lived through the famine years. So remember that. We're going to come back to that later. Bram also suffered from illnesses as a child that left him bedridden until about the age of 7. Why are you laughing at he suffered from illnesses?
Because in those days, who didn't suffer from illnesses? Everybody had illnesses.
If it wasn't tuberculosis, polio. It was polio.
They were all like that. There's no recorded history in Ireland of a child just being all right.
I'm sure they were. It just didn't get written down anywhere because that's not interesting.
They were all sick and they all had like coal on their faces. All of them. Up until about 1937.
Filthy children.
Yeah. What did he have?
Doesn't say.
Bedridden.
Hard to
You know
to
what
say.
He had?
Hard
A
to
shit
say.
Attitude. He had no oomph.
He'd no get up and go. That was Bram's problem.
He was probably bedridden for so long when he was known as Abraham, and then someone went, you should call yourself Bram.
Yeah.
He's up like a sandwich.
Well, that's interesting because age 7, right? He's bedridden until about age 7, then just makes a full recovery.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Probably pretty about old. The time he changed his name. He studied mathematics at Trinity College and graduated with an honours degree. That's not actually important, but, you know, fair play. After college, he worked as a civil servant in Dublin Castle, which was home to British royalty at the time.
Uh-oh.
Are the Brits at it again? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And if you haven't checked out that website yet, you absolutely should. Arethebritsatitagain.com. Go see if they are.
Okay.
Spoiler, they always are.
Yeah.
So he's working at Dublin Castle, worked there for about 10 years. But during this time, he had a second unpaid job doing theatre reviews. Loved the theatre, did Bram.
Yeah.
So he did theatre reviews for a Dublin newspaper. He was also writing fiction, and he published a collection of short stories called The Crystal Cup in 1872.
He's got a lot going on.
He was busy. He was busy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He loved writing. So he had a solid job, getting paid, paying the bills, doing writing on the side, which is basically what I'm doing.
Well, he's making up for lost time sitting on his arse for 7 years.
Yeah.
You know, no wonder he was out looking for multiple jobs. Now, I bet he volunteered at, like, you know, local events too. Yeah. I bet he was always knocking about in the high viz.
I bet he was one of those, like, you know, those Red Bull promoters outside the event. Little flyers in a can, tiny little can.
Taking no money for it.
No. So he leaves the civil service after about 10 years working there. Presumably quite happy. 10 years.
Yeah.
Deece.
Do you think he got a gift to leave?
Yeah, I think they did him a little fruit basket.
Nice.
That's what it says here. He leaves the civil service and he meets an actor called Henry Irving. So Henry had been performing in a production of Hamlet, which Stoker reviewed, and then the two of them hit it off. Presumably it was quite a nice review. They become bezzy mates, and I like to think lovers, because I always do, you know, when there's two characters like that together. I like to think that they really hit it off. So Irving asks Stoker to come work for him at the Lyceum Theatre in London. Stoker takes the job, and he's basically running the theatre and sort of being a right-hand man in many ways, possibly. Sending letters on his behalf, travelling with them all over the world. He's doing well for himself.
Oh,
he's come out of the civil service. He's got this job with Henry. He's now in the Lyceum Theatre in London. He's running the show. He's having a great time. So during this time, Stoker meets an actress named Florence Balcombe, who we're assuming was just a beard, obviously, because he was in love with Henry. She gives birth to their son, who Stoker names after his gay lover, Irving. Irving Noel Thumbly. Does that say?
I thought you were going to say Irving
Thornley.
Noel Thumb?
Thornley.
Right.
Couldn't read my own writing there. He's got his wife. He's got his job at the theatre. He's continuing to write. His son's been born. He's a good lad. He's got himself made.
Is his writing at this point, like, well known? Or is it just, like, you know, under the radar?
Well, funny you should ask that, because he was continuing to write. He had his first novel called The Primrose Path come out. Then another short story collection. He'd already done one. And then a second novel. So he's really kind of going for it. He's churning them out. And they're all very well received. But more importantly, he's actually starting to make a name for himself now in the arts. So he's building up a name in the theatre company. People are, you know, they're getting to know old Bram.
Yes,
old
darling.
Old Brammers. Sorry?
Yeah, I said yes, darling.
You Why?
Know, because if he was, you know, well, sounds like he's moving up in the theatre world. I'm seeing him in a, you know, a polo neck.
I thought
neck.
That just for the first time out of nowhere, you decided to call me darling. Just to, oh, like, darling. Just throw me in the middle of my bit. And it did.
I don't have the face I could call anyone darling.
I don't know.
People could call me darling, but
Absolutely.
Like I couldn't call anyone else.
I would call you. I'm going to start calling you darling.
Okay, that'd
I
be
love
nice.
That. Okay.
You being a writer, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
He's churning out these novels. Short story collections, you're saying they're being received well. Do you think, was he touring round? Was he popping up at bookstore, you know, Victorian bookshops and things like that, doing a little bit of a reading? I presume he wasn't doing like a podcaster or anything like that, but how does the buzz spread back then?
Leaflets?
Yeah.
Do they have leaflets?
Yeah, but it must be so
They had the books themselves, so they must have had leaflets.
Yeah. Yeah, do you think they did books first and then someone went, I've got an idea.
Guys,
let's condense
guys,
this right
this
down.
Huge. Yeah. So here's where it gets interesting. 1897, he's now 50. He publishes Dracula. Right? So he's quite far on into his life now. He's not a spring onion, I was about to say.
I mean, that's the Irish version of that phrase.
He's no spring onion.
I like to think in my head you've been using that phrase for years
and no one's called me on it.
Yeah, everyone thinks that's just a funny thing she does, but you mean that.
I like, genuinely didn't know.
Oh, yeah. That's really enjoyable.
So yeah, so he's 50 when Dracula comes out, and it's basically, the book itself is like a road trip comedy about a vampire trying to get from Transylvania to England with lots of hijinks along the way, is what I understand of it.
So fair play to him for like continuing with the writing, especially because it's on the side.
Yeah. He's still running all the stuff at the theatre and he has a kid, but let's be honest, he probably wasn't doing an awful lot of parenting back then.
Is there a musical equivalent of a guy who, like, you know, doesn't have a hit till he's like a good bit older and then you're like, oh my God, where did that come from? Where did that banger come from? I was going to say Tom Jones' Sex Bomb, but let's face it, he was huge before that.
No, he
that.
Was huge. I was going to say Elton John, but just absolutely not. He was a child prodigy.
Yeah.
So no.
Mozart.
Beethoven.
So at 50? Yeah, no.
50.
Dracula.
So... to be clear, Stoker did not invent the idea of vampires. I think a lot of people think that he like wrote Dracula about this vampire dude and he created this whole mythology, and it was very fully around way before Bram. So we've got legends of vampirism going back as far as Babylonian times, which I did not know. I didn't know that they were that old. And they pop up in China and South America. So they're pretty common and extremely old, a bit like myself. Hey. Like, we're talking way before JC even turned up.
Yeah.
Way before the big guy.
Yeah.
J-Dog. So no one really, like, knows where it came from, but there is speculation that it could be based on this medical condition called porphyria, which causes severe anemia. So it makes people really pale. There's an aversion to sunlight. They sleep a lot because they're really tired. Makes their gums recede, so their teeth would appear bigger.
Yeah.
And the cure for anemia, which is what this disease is, used to be drinking animal blood.
I was going to say, from what you've described it as, could it be described as not a good look?
Yeah, hanging.
Like, absolutely, there weren't too hanging. Many stunners walking about back in the day with that look.
I wouldn't imagine so. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because we've made vampires quite sexy.
Yeah.
In modern culture. Like, they're these quite sexy creatures. But actually what I've just described there is sort of a goblin.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not a good look. Not a good look at all. So easy to see, I guess, where that would kind of come from if there were people walking around looking like this and literally drinking blood.
Yeah.
So in the 1800s in Greece, the belief in vampirism was really prevalent. Anyone with red hair, apparently, was suspected and might have just been killed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That isn't also that long ago.
1800s, that is like not that
like
long ago.
It's like, Grace, come on. Like, 1800s, I wouldn't say it's modern times, but like, that's a time where people should have known stuff. You know, if that's happened in the year 20, I'm like, well, I fully understand.
Yes.
Could you go to Crete now?
I've been to Crete. And I got some funny looks.
Anyone try and
right?
kill you?
I did wonder what the hostility was about. Must have been that. So we're going to get back to Bram in just a second and all the ways he incorporated all these myths and legends into Dracula. Join us after these messages.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Looking for your next podcast binge? Well, look no further. The Offensive is a football mockumentary that follows Premier League club Ashwood City as their money-grabbing owner and his board veer from one crisis to another. Sounds familiar. Well, things are reaching breaking point this January as Real Madrid come calling for Ashwood's star player.
Oh, and Patrick's going to accept 180 million euros for Kevin.
Wait, hang on. Woody, I'm just getting my dick out.
Ah, fuck you and your dick.
It's just getting my dick out, Woody. It's part of the negotiations. Woody, my dick.
Patrick, these are the new work experience intake for the marketing team.
Hi.
The Offensive, where the thick of it meets the Premier League. Subscribe now and enjoy more than 130 episodes.
The Offensive is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
All right, so Bram Stoker, he's grown up in Dublin. He's a sickly kid. His mother was alive during the famine. He did a bit of work as a civil servant, got into the theatre, wrote some books. He's now 50. He's just published Dracula. He has incorporated all these myths and legends that he's heard about vampirism into the book. And he's based the character of Dracula on a Romanian prince, Vlad III, who lived from 1431 to 1476. Okay. Vlad may sound familiar. Looks like you're thinking, who's this Vlad character? I may have heard of him before. Vlad, who probably watched way too many violent movies as a child, he loved impaling. There it is.
I thought it was going to be stupid if I suggested it. And I'm so gutted that I didn't.
Oh.
Vlad the Impaler.
It's Vlad the Impaler.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, this is Vlad. He loved impaling his enemies.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Rude.
Bit much.
Kick a man when he's down or impale a man when he's down.
Absolutely. And would display them around, I think. Yeah, that's a lot. His father's name was Drac. And Dracula literally means son of Drac.
Oh.
Apparently, we're going to get a lot of comments in from Romanian people who say that that isn't true. Let's just keep them to yourselves. It's fine. Right, everybody can.
You think we have many Romanian listeners?
Quite a few, I would say. Yeah. The Irish Romanian community is large, I would say, quite prevalent. But here's the thing. Bram had never been to Romania. So he based his character on a real Romanian prince, but other elements of the story actually seem to have got their inspiration from Ireland.
Yes.
Lovely Ireland. Because he'd never been, so the place and the setting actually seems to have come from Ireland. So, you may remember, I told you we'd come back to this. His mother Charlotte had lived through the famine years. Well, she had told little baby Bram about all the horrors of that time because she was a nice mother. When he was sick and unwell and in his little sick bed, she would sit and she would tell him all the sweet stories of the famine and the atrocities and the horrors that had happened.
Do you think one night he's like, come on, tell him, you know.
Come on, Mum.
Let's have a bit of Harry Potter here. But every night she tells the most harrowing. That's probably why he stayed in bed for so long. He was just paralysed with fear.
Absolutely destroyed. It's probably why he wrote fucking Dracula.
He's scared to leave his bedroom. Yeah, I'm not feeling great. 7 years later, I'll try going out.
The zombies will get me. Because that's what they basically were. That's how they would have been described. Because you had these pale, deathly thin figures just roaming the land. Effectively, the living dead. And in the first manuscript of the book actually was called the undead. So it's kind of one of the first representations of zombieism in fiction. I've just made that up. I've decided it is.
That's very interesting that could be, the famine could have started that whole thing of zombies.
Potentially.
Won't we claim anything?
Yeah.
We're like,
we'll have that. Ireland will have that. Thank you. Gobble it up. Yeah, we made zombies. Yeah. So incidentally, can't wait for the famine episode. that's going to be a laugh a minute.
Maybe that's where the Cranberries song comes from.
The Cranberries song.
Zombie. There you go.
I love the little web we just weaved.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So there were also accounts at the time of, and this genuinely is quite harrowing, but there were accounts, these people were starving, of people like, I don't know why I'm just really struggling to say, because it's true and it's real and it's really sad. There are accounts of people so desperate they resorted to cannibalism. So that got a little snort. That got a little snort out of Shane.
Do you think, and I don't want to be disrespectful, but do you think, because it was Ireland, do you think when they drank the blood of the dead that they
put a bit
of whiskey
they
let it settle for a couple of minutes beforehand?
Both acceptable jokes, I think.
Yeah.
Either way, we're alcoholics.
There was a little, there was a little head on it.
Oh, I think
it's fine.
It's absolutely fine. It was a while ago.
Yeah, there's no more famine guys still knocking about.
No, we're good. Also, on top of all this, Bram, as we discussed, I told you we'd be coming back to it, he was a sickly child.
Yeah.
And the practices at the time would have been, one of the practices would have been bloodletting. So it's possible he actually experienced that himself. Like medicinally, did you not know about this?
What's bloodletting?
Oh, darling. Darling. With a lot of sick people, doctors believed that if you like let their blood, like shed their, you would cut them and let blood run from them, that it would like cure the illness, that it would run from them, flow from them, which is obviously bonkers.
That's like whenever I was in Magaluf on a stag about 4 years ago and was really, really drunk, and a guy in a bar suggested I take coke to sober up.
It's a lot like that.
It feels like the solution is more extreme than the problem, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, it's actually a really good analogy. They would put leeches on people to suck the blood out of them, and they believed in like the humours and how you had to balance them and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, it was a whole thing. So it's just very, very likely that he had first-hand experience and was hearing all these stories, and you know, was very familiar with this idea of, you know, a lot of talk of blood, I guess. And it's just kind of, it's infiltrated his psyche a little bit. And so he starts to write about it and he incorporates it into the story. But also getting deeper into the connections to Irish mythology, there is so much that connects with his book. It's really interesting. So first of all, there were the Shi. So you've heard of a banshee.
Yep.
So banshee, literally translated, is a woman she, female she. And the Shi were like a race of undead fairy people.
Yeah.
Is the best I can give you. So there's this sort of whole race of undead who walk among the living, and they have to drink human blood to survive. That's an Irish myth.
Right.
And that goes back millennia. Then you've got the Irish word, Drachula, means bad or tainted blood. Drachula.
Tainted blood. Oh.
Nice. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's good. And that actually usually refers to like a blood feud between, but like a tainted, like a fight between two families or something. But there is an earlier legend of a site called Dún Drachula, which means castle of tainted blood, where there was like a fortress guarding a pass through the McGillicuddy Reeks mountains in County Kerry. And according to that legend, the castle was and still is inhabited by these like blood drinking, shape shifting fairy people.
Castle of the Tainted Blood.
Of Tainted Blood, yeah.
That sounds like a great emo album.
So many things from Irish history sound like...
like a My Chemical Romance album. Castle of the Tainted
Blood. Castle of Tainted Blood, it really does.
It's good.
That's an MCR album.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So yeah, so there's that. So you've got that. And then there's the big castle. And obviously Dracula lives in a castle. And you've got those kinds of connections. And then there's the Our Talk, which is my absolute favourite. What an absolute... brilliant character, right? So this is a myth from County Derry, up your way, about a supernatural dwarf who feasted on human blood. And he was killed by this Irish chieftain, right? He's killed and he's buried. And then the next day he came back.
Classic.
Classic supernatural dwarf behaviour. More bloodthirsty than ever. Then he's killed again.
Oh,
he's buried
sake.
Again. He comes back again. At this point, it's getting old, right?
You know, oh, for
just
God's
stay
sake,
fucking
yeah.
dead. And then finally, the chieftain gets this druid involved who had to bury him a specific way, like upside down with his head facing downwards.
Disrespectful.
They must have had a good laugh at that.
Oh, so disrespectful.
It really is.
Buried upside down?
He was running around drinking people's blood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm not going to deny the guy's behaviour was abhorrent, but...
Yeah, disrespectful.
I said abhorrent. I don't know if the word's adorant or abhorrent.
Abhorrent. Oh, okay. So there's still, to this day, if you were to go to County Derry, there is a monument of the Aurochs' supposed burial place there. We should go.
No joke. I was in Derry for a gig like very recently and I do perform in Derry quite a bit. The next time I go, I'll take a photo of that.
Oh my
and
God,
send,
I would love
send
that.
It. We'll put it out on the podcast. We'll send it out.
Put it up on the gram.
Put it up on the...
On the socials.
The socials.
Oh, I love that. That's brilliant. Yeah. So the story was passed down for generations and generations and a manuscript was published about this legend. Guess where that manuscript was exhibited until 1868?
Dublin Castle.
Trinity College.
Should have seen that
but
coming
close.
When you said it wasn't, the Trinity was important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Trinity was important. He was there studying for a few years and that manuscript would have been there about the legend of the Aurochs, would have been there while Bram was there studying there. So the final and genuinely kind of weird piece of this puzzle is that there's another story which tells of the Aurochs' offspring coming back and just...
They're always making comebacks.
They're always... They will not just lie down and just be fucking dead, right? So yeah, so there's another legend of the offspring coming back, wreaking havoc and then being buried at sea because they were like, this time.
Yeah, we've got to try something.
Yeah, let's just try something different, try it out. This happened in Stoker's birthplace in Howth in County Dublin in 1897. It was the same year Dracula was published.
so many things are linked back into the one thing.
Yeah, it all just ties back in. It's also entirely possible that the whole thing came from a nightmare he had after eating some dodgy crab.
Yeah.
That one report suggests.
But we're not interested in that report.
We want the
story and that's what that is. And also, like, it's fair to say Dracula was a banger. Like, he's knocked it out of the park with that.
Absolutely.
He's killed it.
I mean, if we're still talking about it now, then yeah.
To be honest, until you started telling me this, I thought it was just a movie. I didn't even know it was a book.
Well, there you go, yeah. It's so much part of so many movies and TV shows and has just had so many iterations. And yeah, this was the first.
Is there anything like dedicated to Bram Stoker in Dublin that you know of? Like, has he got like a plaque?
I'll tell you
what
though, I pass by his house a lot when I'm home.
He's still there?
Well, no, the house is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're making it sound like you call in for a chat.
It's gaff. No, yeah. Like I don't go around for a cup of tea or anything. But yeah, no, his house is still there.
Has he got a blue plaque?
I haven't gone to look.
Let's get
I
him
just
one.
Drive by.
Let's
Maybe,
get him one.
Yeah, if he doesn't have a blue plaque.
We should get him one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%.
But that's crazy that it wasn't until he was 50 that he had that success.
I know. Good for him. It kind of gives me hope.
I will not read the book.
No.
I might watch the movie again.
Okay.
I'll watch a 5-minute YouTube video about the story.
There's very funny behind the scenes of that movie, by the way, if you're interested. Gary Oldman was playing Dracula and had this like huge, he had a lot of makeup and prosthetics and this huge sort of headdress on. And there's a very funny scene where he's just really cranky. He's just on set and he's really cranky and he's kind of just stropping about and having a go at the director but he has the full Dracula garb on him and it's very funny.
You can't be taken seriously with like the 8-foot suit on and the big long arms when you're like, where is my Nando's?
Yeah.
Where is my Nando's?
Which is what you say.
You're like, Gary, shut up.
Yeah, shut the fuck up, Gary.
I feel like I have drank that knowledge in. Like our boy Dracula would down a pint of blood.
As though I opened a vein and poured my knowledge into you.
Nope.
Too far?
Bloodletting.
Too far.
Next week in the podcast.
You learned about bloodletting this week. I think that's huge. I think that's enough for you today, is it?
Yeah.
Well, listen, thanks so much for coming along for the ride. Sorry if some of that got a bit gory for you. Wherever you listen, if you wouldn't mind dropping us a little like, a little thumbs up, a little rating, a little, yeah, that was good.
Tell people, you know, tell friends, pen pals.
Yeah.
You know, if you haven't hooked up with your pen pal from French, from school. Get back in touch.
A biento.
Exactly.
But at the end, yeah.
But yeah, we appreciate all the love for the podcast. If you want to rate, review it, all that sort of thing.
Email us.
hello@nothistorians.com. We're on the social medias.
We are on the various social medias. I'm the Hazel Hayes there.
Shane Todd, you find me.
Yeah, you'll find him.
You'll find me. I'm like an Irish myth. I might not be there first, but you keep searching, you'll find me there.
Yeah.
You'll find me there somewhere. I'm just going away from this, thinking about getting buried upside down and really being scared of that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Just remember, until next time, we're not fucking historians. See you again.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.